Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And saints of God, I have a message that the Lord had given me this week. Some things that came to mind, came to spirit, and what has been taking place in our nation right now kind of like solidifies the message, because prior to that incident, prior to the attack on Iran, I was given a phone call by my daughter Sophia, and I could sense in her voice that she was saddened and that she was going through something that she really didn't know how to share it with me, but she did. And she said to pray for her grandmother. This is my ex-mother-in-law, Esther Mason. And I'm going to share about her in a little bit. And I comforted Sophia, and I prayed with her. And so what she shared with me is what birthed this message. And I'm going to share a little more about that conversation I had with her. But I'm ready to go before the throne room of grace. Amen? So pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So, if you have your cell phones, put them on the silent position. And so, here we go. I've entitled this morning's message, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord." Amen. Once again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul was writing to the Corinthians regarding this matter, because many people had many falsehoods regarding life after death. One of the theories was soul sleeping. Are you familiar with that? That you die and you go into a deep sleep. It's called soul sleeping. And that for a believer, when God comes, he'll resurrect you out of your sleep. That's a falsehood. The Bible doesn't teach that. Then there's some that says that you no longer exist. Once the physical body dies, you no longer, you're done. That's another falsehood. So there's a lot of falsehoods that I could go over and over with you right now, but I would be wasting your time. I want to know what the Bible says. Can I get an amen? So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. And I have the scriptures on the screen if you didn't bring your Bible. If you notice that picture before we turn, you could see that's the spirit of this lady rising up into the heavens, right? So apparently she just passed. Yeah, I want you to just catch that right there for a moment. Amen? You're probably going, what is that photo? Oh. Okay, so here we go. Let's go to the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. And the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. In other words, this flesh that we have right now, it yearns for that new body. How many are yearning for that new body? Well, the Bible tells us that we groan for it. Man, I'm telling you, there are times, man, where for a diabetic, you have neuropathy. And the feet is so painful that it feels like you're walking with pain that's so unbearable. And for many that go through that, knowing this hope right here, your body's groaning for the change. You want a new body. I remember my aunt, your mom, when it started with her feet, and then they had to sever her feet, then they had to sever below the knees, and she had no more legs, and she was in pain, but she's in her new body now. Can I get an amen? She's in her new body, cuz. For this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Praise God. Look at verse 4. Check this out. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, in other words, when you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, God gave you a guarantee that you are promised a new body. A body that will never decay. A body that will always live forever. Pain-free. How many want a pain-free body? And you can forget about counting the gray hairs that pop up every day. Or the lack thereof. My goodness, look at this. Now, verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, as a guarantee. So we are always confident. You need to be confident in your spirit, in your mind, in your soul, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. So we are absent from His presence there in heaven. But look what verse 7 says. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Did you catch that, saints? Amen. The moment we take our final breath here on this earth, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. Immediately, if not sooner. Those of you right now who have loved ones that know that their time is now limited, don't worry for them, especially if they're believers. If they believe, they're saved, check it out. They're about ready to graduate. They're ready to get crowned in heaven. Hallelujah. A lot of times we want to hold on to them. No, it's time to say, you know what? It's time to go to be with the King. Especially if they lived a long life. I can see now a younger person that's different. So saints, there are going to be moments in life when the reality of our mortality, it'll confront us. with a force that you and I cannot ignore. Watching someone we love walk through the valley of the shadow of death is going to be one of those moments. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. We've seen it, right? Because you and I, I've experienced that with you. I experienced that with Yolanda's parents. I remember she asked me, can I go move in with them to care for them in their final days? I says, yes, honey. Don't let no one ever stop you to do that. Did I miss her being with me? Yeah. But I supported her in every way. She did it for both of her parents, Joe and Lucy. And they all became believers. They all have a testimony how they received God. So all this reminds us, saints of God, that our bodies are fragile. How many believe that they're fragile? Oh, come on. Why? Because our time is limited. And no amount of human effort, saints of God, can stop the decline of a failing body. Oh, come on. None of us are 19 anymore. None of us are 21 anymore when we thought we were on top of the mountain. Huh? Oh, come on. We're not that no more. In our mind, we think we are. This is my little dog, Chikuru. He thinks he's as big as that next door neighbor, German Shepherd. I go, what's the last time you looked in the mirror? But yet for us believers, saints, believers in Christ, we all know that death is not the end of the story. Can I get an amen? But it's the doorway to ultimate healing. Amen. The ultimate healing. Death is the doorway. And one of the things that we as humans here is we do fear that. We fear, you know what it is? We fear the unknown because it hasn't happened yet. We just read about it. Well, God's saying, believe it and receive it by faith that I am with you even through that transition. He's with us. Because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. How many believe that? So when my daughter called me, Sophia, she goes, Dad, will you please do me a favor? Will you pray for my nanny? See, Esther's 84 years old. I go, what's going on with your nanny? I knew that, you know, she was getting sick, but she goes, the colon cancer that she had, the cancer has spread throughout her whole body now. And the doctors are giving her about 2 months. So, okay. And so, Yolanda and I, we were doing some errands, and we happened to be right at Sister Catherine's home because she's going through right now. So we brought her a meal to comfort her. And so I call Patsy, my ex-wife. I go, hey, I just got a call from Sophia. How's your mom doing? And still, she was saddened in her heart. I said, you know, I think maybe she'll probably want, she's ready to go see Jesus. So I had to remind her. I had to remind her, Patsy, because 20 years ago, when Yolanda and I attended Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, 20 years ago, Pastor Leo always once a year went to Israel. And so my ex-wife and her mom, Esther, had joined Mission Valley as well. And so they went on that Israel trip too. And I had to remind Patsy, remember? I baptized your mom in the River Jordan in Jesus' name. And she got saved. I go, why are you sad? This is a time to rejoice. And what she has been telling them all is, I want to go see Jesus now. She goes, don't worry about me. I want to go see Jesus. Because she got saved that day that I baptized her by the grace of God. And they go to a church in Kearny Mesa called Pacific Hope. They've been going there for all these years. She just can't go no more because she's ill. And so pray for me, because Yolanda and I, after service today, we're going to go serve her communion. And pray for her and bless her and remind her that your journey is just about ready to take place. And don't fear it. And that God will comfort you through this. You shared last week about your friend. There's people right now, left and right. People that we know, acquaintances, where we're finding these situations. And there's people that mourn and they grieve. Yes. And there's mourning to it. There's grief that's involved. But for the believer, there is hope. Yes. There is a mighty hope. And so her journey has stirred me to reflect on this message so that we could see through Scripture and be comforted that we have that eternal hope. Can I get an amen? We're not like people that have no hope. I've seen, I've done so many Celebration of Life services where I could see people that have come for to celebrate that loved one that have no hope. I remember I was asked by your niece, Yvonne. Said there was a family that needed someone to do a celebration on life. So I wasn't busy that day, and I said, I'll go do it. So it was one of those mortuary places where it was in El Cajon. It was limited parking, and it had a nice area, about two times the size of this place. When I walked in, it was gangstered out. I don't know what gang where they were, you know, whatever they were. I don't know whatever they were claiming. But when I looked into the, it was an open casket. This guy had a Raider, an Oakland Raider, helmet, jersey, the whole works. And they had a couple of beers in there. I said, these folks have no hope. So I had to be bold. I brought that message of hope. Many hands went up, receiving Christ. But you could, but the one who had the mind to dress them up as an Oakland Raider football player and throw beers in there, they had no hope like we have hope. You and I would have never have done something like that. And so, saints of God, what I'm talking about here is not a theory, but a reality of the Word of God that gives us the hope, a lively hope. Oh, that's right. Paul said it best right up here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be what? Absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. For you and I, as the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be absent from the body is not a tragedy. It's a blessing to be with him. How many believe it's going to be a blessing? Because in an instant, pain ceases. Confusion vanishes. Disease is no more. Healing that our earthly doctors could never bring is finally complete. Hallelujah. You're talking about wholeness and wellness? Yes, that new body. There is no trace of sin on that body that would even be considered well and whole. No, he eradicated that. There will be no sin in us. Just imagine a mind without any filth in it. You and I can be on our best day and still have lust in our mind. Can I get amen? Oh, be good today, yeah. And then something walks your way. Oh, come on. I'm just being real. I'm just being real, saints. Until God will eradicate that. And we'll have no more of that. Praise God. So let's look at this. Being with Jesus. How many want to be with Jesus? Being with Jesus. John wrote this in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we cannot do nothing without him. He needs to abide in us. Can I get amen? And look what Matthew wrote down. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Say that with me. Always. Always. Even to the end of the age. He will always be with us. Did you know he watches over you when you sleep at night? Mm-hmm. When you wake up? Look what Revelation 3:20 says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Praise God. That's what took place the day that you invited Christ in. Guess what? He never left you. And once again, I want to drive this scripture into our spirit. Yes, we are confident. Yes, well pleased. Rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Tuesday night, I sent the men this testimony of this one gentleman who was on a electric skateboard with another friend of his, and they were just screaming down the street. His hit a curb, and he flew 30 feet in the air on his head and busted his head wide open. And died instantly. And he saw his body. He saw himself being lifted from the scene. And as he was getting higher and higher, all he saw was his friend with his body in his arm crying, saying, you cannot die. You can't die. And then immediately, that guy went into the presence to be with Jesus. And what he says, what he saw and the conversation and the things he saw there was mind-blowing. I think I sent that to you, didn't I? It's amazing. The one thing I got out of his testimony is the way that God looks at you individually. He loves you so much that he thought, it's almost like he just thought of you. And he would have died for you only if you were the only one created. It's amazing. If you want that, let me know. After this service, I'll text it to you. It's on YouTube. It's a great testimony. And so, in the book of Acts, we see this. Look at this. In the book of Acts. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with who? Jesus. Let me just say this. When Jesus, when you encounter him, and he lives in you, people will know that Jesus lives in you. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why we should never ever fear death. Because he's with us. Look what Colossians says. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our life is hidden with him now. Hallelujah. He'll watch over us like a hen watching over her little chicks. And we need to look at this. The reality of ultimate healing. Ultimate healing. Yes, we go to doctors, and yes, we've seen God do miraculous things. People get out of comas. People heal broken legs. You know, God extends your life a little longer. But ultimately, the physical body is going to expire. Right? Throughout your life, God will do miraculous things to keep you going for his purposes. But then, one day it's going to come to an end, the physical life. But we should never fear that, because we're hidden in Christ. So we need to look at the ultimate healing. You see, saints, we often pray for healing in this life. How many of you prayed for others for healing? And continue to do that. Amen? We're called to do that. And sometimes He grants that healing. Other times, saints of God, healing doesn't come the way we hope. How many of you prayed for something and it just didn't turn out like you want it? But for every believer, saints of God, ultimate healing always comes. Why? Because the book of Revelation declares it. Here's what I'm saying here. And Revelation 21:4. Let's go there. Look at that. God will what? Wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is the hope that you need to understand, that this is promised to us, that we are going to be detached from this tent, this temporary home, and there will be no more pain. That gentleman's testimony, he said, there was no more pain. He said there was this joy he couldn't, this love that was so deep that he didn't have that when he was on earth. That joy is in the presence of the Lord Jesus. This verse right here, it's a promise, and it should be comforting. How many realize that this is comforting here? What if it said, well, you may trip and fall up there and stub your toe, but the pain will only last for a while? No, there'll be none of that. Wow, I can't wait. And so you have to remember, if it's written in the Word, then he has to solidify it with other scriptures. So when we go to 2 Corinthians 1:20, look what it says. For all the promises of God in him are what? Yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. So what we just read in Revelation 21, that's a promise. And in him it says yes and amen. So in other words, God cannot lie. God's not like a man that could lie. You know, we could break promises as humans. Oh, I promise I won't say that no more. And then someone cuts you off on the road.
married.
But I promise I wasn't going to do that again. Saints of God, the day's coming when cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, dementia, heart disease, and every affliction will bow to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many can't wait for that day? Come on, give God a shout, because that day's coming. Our loved ones in Christ, they don't do a war song. Remember war? They don't just slip into darkness. Remember slipping into darkness? No, the believer steps into wholeness and wellness and beauty and purity and light. Because the glory of God. Hallelujah. Look what Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. God's going to do this. He's faithful. He cannot lie. The moment you doubt God is the moment you're doubting that he can't do this for you. Don't be in that position. Paul wrote to the Colossian church and said this, for in him, who, capital H, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This is why we don't use, Pastor Art can agree with me, we don't use the word Trinity, but we use the Godhead. Because in the Godhead, bodily, is the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. We are complete. And do you know that God already sees you in your glorified body? I know you can't see it yet. I can't see it yet either. I look at it and go, It's not it. It's not there yet. That new body is going to rock your world. It's going to be something. It's going to be something to behold. Behold. This is now the new you. Man. And everyone in heaven is going to have this joy they can't comprehend. Remember, he saw animals up there. He saw mansions up there. This guy saw all kinds of things. But more importantly, he was right there by Jesus. And he said Jesus didn't speak. You couldn't see his lips moving. He spoke to your spirit. Wow. And so, when we lose a loved one here on earth, there is a time to grieve. Trust me. Especially if they're youngsters. Or if they're young and it wasn't time yet. But for our older family members and friends, in their mid-80s and going into 90s, don't hold on to them. Let them go be with Jesus. Can I get an amen? That's where they want to go. As a believer, they fought the good fight of faith. They finished the course. It's time for them now to move on. Amen? So we're going to look at grieving, but not without hope. So we need to be honest, saints. The hope of heaven doesn't cancel out the pain of loss. There's going to be times that when my mom passed. My brother Norbert, man, he was draped to her coffin. And we couldn't get him to stop crying. And, I was already saved. And I saw his grief. I saw his pain. Because he has no hope. He doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't know him. And so it's more painful to the unbeliever that has no hope. Paul reminds us, he wrote this to the Thessalonian church. Look at this. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. What do you mean fallen asleep? That means who have died in Christ. Their bodies have now been put in the earth. So if you look at that in the Greek, that means falling asleep means physically dying. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. Did you catch that? Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. There's people in our lives. They have no hope. But we don't have that excuse. Can I get amen? We have a hope. Look at this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who died in their flesh. In Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep, those who already went before us. So my question is, did you catch that? I'm going to go back to verse 13. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. That's not us anymore. That should never be us no more. Because we do have that hope. We do have that hope. Do we miss that person? Yes. Do we grieve for a moment? Yes. But we know if that person who has departed is a believer, my spirit's rejoicing. Because they're dancing with Jesus now. They're in a place where I would want to be. But guess what? It's going to happen in His timing for us. One of the reasons why He gives us so much time, some 70, some 60, some 80 years, because there's a call and a task at hand. And God wants you to complete your task. Complete your call. There's going to be people down the road that need to hear the gospel. And you are the conduit. You're the one that touches them. You're the one that will sow into their heart. You're the one that will tell them about Christ. You're the one that will tell them about Jesus. How many of you could honestly say that you shared Jesus with people?
All the time. That's a commandment.
Yes. Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. And so it's almost like automatic, huh? It's almost like you're not forced to do it. You want to share. You want to tell people. You want to let them know that there's hope for you. And so we do grieve, but we don't grieve like people that have no hope, saints. The difference is not in the presence of tears, like, you know, tears that come down, but in the presence of hope. There's people that are weeping and tears. No. When something takes place, we're in the presence of hope now. Because we know where that person's going. Can I get an amen? Hopelessness whispers that death is the end. Hope declares that death is swallowed up in victory. It's swallowed up. Look what 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave for us. He's the one that took away the sting of death from us. Praise God. Praise God. See, look at these little sayings that I put up here. Hopelessness says, I'll never see them again. Hope says, this separation is temporary. Hopelessness drains us, but hope anchors us. It anchors us in the faith. Hope. A lively hope. The hope of Christ. The hope of glory. Because He's coming soon. How many believe He's coming soon? He's coming soon, saints. But not everyone has that same hope that you and I have. There are people that we know, friends, family members, neighbors, co-workers. They have no assurance, saints of God, of what comes after death. But we have the good news to share with them. Can I get amen? And when crisis strikes, the absence of hope can be devastating to people. It could be earth-shattering to them. Were you at that celebration on life, brother? Okay. Did you sense that there was no hope there? Yeah. So, here's the question here. How we can minister to those without any hope? How do we minister to them? A lot of times, we listen with compassion. We have to be compassionate with them. Can I get amen? Sometimes the greatest gift, saints of God, we can give is just our presence being there. Bringing in the anointing of God in the room. Did you know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you walk into a room, people feel the presence of God. They see that shine, that glow in you. How many remember, you would only remember, brother, Dr. G. Dr. Loretta Gonzalez. All she had to do was sit right next to you, and man, the presence of God would fall all over you. So did Bishop Trout's dad, same way, Raymond Trout. As soon as you got next to him. And Mother Ware. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Man. They had this supernatural power that at that time I couldn't explain it. Now I know. It was the anointing of God. They were always in the presence. And you know why the Spirit of God was always on them? Because they were always deep in prayer. They were the ones leading the prayer services. Thank you, God. When you pray and seek God like that, I think we talked about it on the men's ministry, right? We need to have an all-night prayer session on a Friday night. And wait for some breakthroughs to take place. I remember Elder Garcia. He got his breakthrough at 4 in the morning. His breakthrough came. Bam! The Holy Ghost just filled him. He was wrestling, yeah. He was in a dry place. I remember he told me, he goes, I couldn't feel God for a while. So the church called for a all-night prayer for those who needed to have a breakthrough. It was incredible. And you guys want an all-night, you let me know. We can do here on a Friday night. We'll have a little worship and then just pray. Pray till something happens. Pray till that change comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Because when you're in His presence, miracles take place. God speaks to you. God does miraculous things. You see, saints, we can greatly point to the source of our hope. Not with cliches, not with sermons, but with reminders of God's love that's in Christ Jesus. Because John wrote it best. How do we minister to them? How do we do this? John, right here, says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to let people know that you can't just go to God. It's got to be done through Christ. Can I get an amen? Isn't that amazing? No one can come to the Father except through the Son. You see, I need you to catch this for a moment. It just came to me right now. It's not even on my notes. Holy Spirit speaking right now. Look at this verse of Scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This separates every religion in the world. Because they all say, I know God. Okay, so what did you do with His Son? Oh, we don't believe in Him. I believe in God. No, you can't go to God unless you go through the Son. This is checkmate. Remember that. It's checkmate. There's people, oh no, I know who God is. I know the man upstairs. I know him. And then you got the Buddhists, and then you got the Confucius, and then you got the Hare Krishnas, and then you got the Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses, and you got all these cult, all these Eastern mysticism. And they all come to this country and brought their own gods. But they won't have nothing to do with the Son. So remember this. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Look what he wrote. John wrote this in 14:27. Peace I live with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Saints, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Never be afraid of anything in this world. Can I get amen? You can be startled. But just for a moment. Startle is different than being afraid. Startle is like a surprise. Okay. And then now you figured it out what that was. Jesus promised His peace. When we walk into a grieving home with calm assurance in Christ, the people will notice. By praying boldly, not just privately, but with them and for them. Testify what God has done in your life. You know, one of the greatest testimonies is reading a testimony from the Bible. Our testimony matters. I know your testimony matters. But when you read it out of the Scripture, it comes to life. Turn with me. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Chapter 8. We're going to start with verse 26. I'm going to go there right now, but I want you to turn your Bibles and then I'll put it on the screen. Acts 8:26. This is one of the disciples who was a soul winner. His name was Philip. So let's go here. Here we go. Acts 8:26-40. Look at this. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Okay, so God spoke to him to go do a task for him. This is this is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge all of her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So here's these Ethiopians coming to worship God there in Jerusalem. Look at verse 28. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. This is the eunuch reading the word. He's reading what Jeremiah wrote. Look at this. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. In other words, go close to this guy. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, look what he said to this Ethiopian. Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? I need you to catch that. This is what God's called you, to help and guide someone, to help them further understand what the Word of God is. Look at this. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. Look at verse 32. The place in the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Okay? Now look at verse 34. Now the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Okay, this was his opportunity now. I got this guy's attention. He's reading the word. So look at verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Does everyone here have a New King James Version or a King James Version, or do you have a different version? Huh? So is verse 37 missing? Is your verse 37 there? How about you, cuz? So you're reading New King James then? Or King James? Okay. We talked about this. Because in a lot of other translations, that whole verse is gone. It goes from 36 to 38. See, this is a profession of Christ. This is a profession of faith. That's why I highlighted it and made italics of it. And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Saints of God, this is why we need to always bring hope to those who have no hope. That they may have a decision, just like this eunuch. Because we're reading it right out of Scripture. This is a testimony. Now look at verse 39. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, what? Rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. But that eunuch came out of the water with joy. Huh? Here's a guy that didn't even know what he was reading about. And God spoke to Philip to go preach to him. Let him understand what he's reading. And many of us need to be that guide for someone. Can I get amen? Amen. To further explain who Jesus is in their life. So that they have an understanding to make a better choice to come after Jesus. People need to know he's not just the man upstairs. That he's just, he's God. He knows. He knows me. Really? Do you know him? You see, ministering to those without hope doesn't mean forcing our belief on them. No, I don't mean that. It means planting seeds. Some will sprout in many ways. And guess what? Sharing Christ with someone, you may never see the outcome of that person's life. But this is why Paul was determined to do this. It's right in Scripture, what I'm saying here, so that I'm not just flapping my mouth right now. It's in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. Look at this. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers to whom you believe as the Lord gave to each one. Look at this. I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. So when you preach Jesus, when you share the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the salvation of God, it won't come back void. Because God will give the increase. God will have that person one day, somewhere down the road. It may not be right then and there when you preach to them, but God will give the increase and save that person. Why? Because what did you do? You watered and you planted. And God gave the increase. You see, we need to understand hope that holds us. Hope holds us. It keeps us together. Saints, the hope of every Christian rests on a resurrected Savior. Jesus himself said it best, wrote in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall what? Live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Saints, I need to ask this question. Do you believe that?
Yes.
We will never die. We will never die. And this is what I need to reiterate when we go and give communion to Esther this afternoon. I'm going to tell Esther, you're never going to die. You're going to live forever. You're going to get rid of this cocoon shell. And the butterfly is about ready to burst out. Can I get an amen? We're all in a cocoon right now. And it's not just doctrine, saints. It's a lifeline of God to mankind. Because when our heart aches, when the casket feels too heavy, and when the house feels too quiet, you and I can cling to the truth. We can cling to the truth. Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives, so will all who trust in him. I close with this scripture in Romans. Look at this. Romans 6:9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Did you catch that? Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you, point to your neighbor, you. reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So guess what? Even though we live right now in this body of flesh that does sin, God don't see that sin no more. Guess what he sees? The blood that's washed away our sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you for the hope of glory. We thank you, God, that while we were all yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you, oh God, that this present life, this body of flesh that we live in, the body will go back to the grave, but our soul and spirit will be in your presence right when we close our eyes here on earth. Lord, thank you, God, for this hope of glory. Thank you, oh God, because we know, Lord, even right now, there's people that are dying in our world. War is ugly. Death is inevitable. But you are the hope. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you, God, that we have the hope. And I'm praying for those who are watching right now on Facebook and YouTube. Maybe you just logged in and maybe, just maybe, you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And all you have to do is surrender your heart to him. Cry out to God. We'll assist you in that prayer. But I need you to catch this. The prayer does not save you. It's your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just what we lift up to God. But ultimately, is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that saves you. So I'm going to ask that you would pray this prayer of faith, that you too can receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Come on, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.